He was saying to those around them, and he says to us this morning, are you done? Are you done? Are you done trying to make it all work? Are you frustrated this morning? Are you one of those who in frustration has sat down upon your bed or fallen upon your knees or laid back on your bed and said, it doesn't work, it just doesn't work? Jesus was saying to those who have toiled all night and taking nothing, I have toiled all night and I've taken nothing, Jesus was saying to those. Come unto me. That makes all the difference in the whole thing. Come unto me, he said. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest like you've never known. Come unto me personally, the Lord Jesus says. Come unto me personally. Come, follow me personally. Not just my teachings, young people. Come, follow me personally. Come, let us be yoked together. Let us be yoked together. I'm not going to lay all of these principles upon you and just tell you to go and do them. Come, let us be yoked together. Take my yoke upon you. And come, submit yourself to the Master and His teachings. Let's walk down the path together, Jesus says. Become a learner of a new order? No, what does the word say? Huh? Do you know it? Of me. Come, learn of me. Oh, there's a big difference between that and some new order, right? Come, come unto me. Come, yoke yourself with me. And then come, learn of me. Of me, young people, he said. Come, learn of me. And then he finishes by saying, I'm easy to learn from. I am meek and lowly in heart. I am easy to learn from. Not hard, not difficult. I'm not a taskmaster. I am meek and lowly in heart. Come learn of me. It is easy to learn of me once you come and you submit yourself to the Master and to His teachings. It's easy to learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he finishes by saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And oh, so many people in this land of ours, young people, they're trying to make all these things happen, but they miss the most important element. Come unto me. Yoke yourself with me. You know, it's easy for us to read through the Bible and say, oh, look at this, you know, fasting, oh, that's good, let's do that, and this, and let's go soul winning, and all those things are beautiful, and they're good and right, and in their place. But, dear young people, they're not in their place until you are in your place, learning from the Master, yoked to Him. Then, all those other things are beautiful, and we'll speak about them all week long. The words, Jesus' words to His disciples were not simply words of a new order or words of a higher standard, you know, like with the words of Moses and the words of the prophets. You know, they were used to that. Oh, we've had the words of Moses and we had the words of the prophets and now we have the words of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Now we have Moses and the prophets and Jesus. Isn't it interesting, though, that the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration When Peter, James, and John were there and they were gazing and seeing into the eternal realm and they saw Jesus there lit up in all His glory, which was hidden from the eyes of humankind, and they saw Moses there and they saw Elijah there, and oh, Peter thought, boy, this is beautiful. Let's just make 3 tabernacles. Now we have Moses here and we've got Elijah here and we have Jesus here. And oh, just like that, a big cloud came over the mountain and those men fell on their faces in fear as the cloud came over the mountain. And in the midst of the cloud, they heard a voice speaking unto them. Oh, I believe it spoke to the depths of their soul as the Father spoke out of eternity past and into the present and from eternity future. He said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." And they opened up their eyes and the cloud was gone. They saw Jesus only standing there. Hallelujah. Young people, you get that one. Get that one. Hear ye Him. But who is this Jesus only that was standing there? This is my beloved Son. This is God in the flesh. Hear ye Him. I'm not against reading Moses. I'm not against reading the prophets. I read them all the time and preach out of them. But let's keep Jesus in His precious place. Amen? Seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So, Jesus was not just speaking words of a new order. Jesus Christ is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. And when He was speaking to His disciples, He was explaining to His disciples how you relate to God. Amen? Not some new order. He's telling them how to relate to God when He says to them words like this, "Forsake all, or you cannot be my disciple. Sell all and follow me," He said. "Deny yourself, dethrone yourself, or you cannot be my disciple." Why was He saying words like this? Because He's God. And young people, that's the only way you can relate to God. The only way. Mark it down. If you're ever going to know any of the depth of fellowship and reality with God, you're going to have to come to grips with the words that Jesus gave to His disciples. That's the only way man can relate to the living God. He's God. Why shouldn't He expect us to forsake everything? He's God. It's not just some new order, young people. We're talking about God. And young people, if there is ever a generation of youth who need to declare themselves truly, true disciples of Jesus Christ, it is this one. It is this one. Amen? Do you know what they call you? You're Generation X. That's what the public has titled your generation. Generation X? What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. I knew already, but I studied it just so I could tell you. It's the generation. It's generation nothing. That's Generation X. Generation nothing. It's the generation with no cause. It's the generation with no values. It's the generation with no absolutes. That's what Generation X is. It is the easygoing, casual generation. That's Generation X, you know. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Don't judge me, I won't judge you, and we're all going to go happily together down life's road. That's Generation X. Nice, easygoing, casual generation. The generic God of the day suits Generation X real well. They don't mind that. They have no problem with a generic God, you know, the Muslim God and the Hindu God. gods and the Buddhist gods and all the other gods are the same God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, they say. That suits Generation X real well. Generation X, they are the playingest generation there ever was. Oh, they like their fun, boy. Let's have it. Let's go have a good time. Yeah, we're young. You're only young once, says Generation X. We like to play. Generation X, and I read all this right out of a book from a man who took surveys by the thousands and gathered all the information together, so I'm not picking on you. Generation X, they don't want to work. Oh, they like the paycheck. You better give them the paycheck at the end of the week, but they don't like the work. I'll do what I have to do to get by, and that's it. That's Generation X. Generation X. They're the ones, they're the generation that wears blue jeans and t-shirts to the office at IBM. And the boss can't do anything about it because they know how to run those computers. So they just put up with them in their blue jeans and their t-shirts and their tennis shoes. Come walking in there, into IBM. And I'm not for suits and ties. But there's proper and improper. But to Generation X, no such number even exists. That's the way they are. Generation X has grown up on thrills and entertainment from the time they were little children. And they say if you want to reach Generation X, you better give them the thrills and the entertainment. And men are writing whole books on how to fill your churches with Generation Xers. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you whoop it up and you get the music going and you put a gymnasium over there on the side of the sanctuary and you make sure you have lots of hot dog roasts and lots of hayrack rides and all those kind of good fun things, and you'll fill your church up with Generation Xers because that's what they live on, the thrills and the entertainment. Listen to this one, young people. Number one employer for Generation X. Note this. The number one employer for Generation X is McDonald's. That's a pretty sad commentary, isn't it? Enough said on that, huh? If I were you, and I know you young people, the very fact that you're here, you're shaking that thing off with all your heart. I know that. I'm not saying that's the way you are. No, not at all. To be fair about the whole thing, Generation X was raised that way. To be real fair about the whole thing, they were raised with no values and no absolutes. They were raised on the television set and all the good things. That's what they were raised on. But if I were you, if I was your generation, I'd shake that thing off with all of my heart. I'd shake that testimony out of my life, out of the way that I live, out of the testimony of my life, out of my life message with everything I had in me. Just like I did in my generation. See, my generation was the hippie generation, and I shook that thing off of me with everything I had. So what are you going to do about it? How do you break the chain? I'm sure you want to break that chain. I'm sure of it. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to break that chain. Now, there might be a few in here that are offended at what I've said already, because that's kind of how it is. You know, we don't realize it, but that Generation X has affected the Christian lot more than what we want to admit. You know. So what are we going to do about it? You must become a disciple of Jesus Christ, young people. You must. And I've learned this about young people. I've learned this about young people. All of them. Even Generation X. They want it clear. They want it high. They want it real. That's what they want. I mean, if you're going to run a mile, let's run it as fast as possible and figure out how we can run it as fast as possible. Young people, we're talking about a life that is at your fingertips, of challenge, of adventure, of stretching and straining like you never knew. Some time ago, not long ago, I was on a plane. I was flying back from Manitoba just a few weeks ago. I was up there among the Hutterite people, and there was a man sitting next to me in the plane, and someone had given me a book on the history of the Hutterite people, and that's what I was looking at as I sat there in the plane. And this guy sitting next to me, you know, he was eavesdropping and looking at what I was reading, and he said, "Hey, I see you're reading this book." "Yeah, that's right, yeah." "Well," he said, "I know the Hutterites." He said, "I used to be a building inspector. I've been in all kinds of their colonies. I went in there to inspect the buildings that they built, you know." "Really?" "Yeah." "So what are you doing up here in Canada?" he said. And I thought, oh boy, am I glad you asked me that question. And in between that and the preliminaries, you know, he said, "I'm a Christian, you know." He said, "Are you a minister?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I'm a Christian." "Good, wonderful." And so then he asked me, "You know, what are you doing up here?" And I told him, I overflowed on him all the things that are happening among these Hutterite people. And he just sat there, you know, with his jaw open. "Wow, man, really?" He just went on and on like this. And after we talked about that for a little while, then I turned the corner a little bit and I asked him about himself and his family. And he started telling me about his children, and he had a son, a 21-year-old son. And I said, "Well, so what does your son do, you know, 21 years old? "Oh," he said, "my son, he had no idea. He walked right into the lion's den and didn't even know it." But he said, "Yeah, I got a son, he's 21 years old, and he's one of these bike racers and stuntmen, you know, with one of these baby bikes, you know, they ride these little things and go down these loops and go around like that and go up and flip the bike around and come back down on it again, you know, and they ride these mountain trails and go up over these cliffs and land on their heads and all kinds of things." What an utterly ridiculous thing to do with your life! But I mean, this man is telling me he's a father, you know, he's proud of his son, you know, and he's giving me this whole spiel about his son, and he's bragging on him. "Yeah, and he broke his leg this side, he broke this leg, and he's broken his hands 3 different times, he broke his wrist, he has several broken ribs, but he's a champion," he told me, "he's a champion." I mean, he eats and sleeps and drinks, bragging this little bike around and making it do fancy things, you know. I'm sitting there, and I didn't criticize it at all. You know, I want to be gracious. The Lord Jesus was gracious, but I thought to myself, oh, what a waste. What an utter waste. But the point is, that boy did it with everything he had. And I mean, he busted his bones up, and as soon as those old bones healed, he got right back on that dumb thing and did it again. Should we be left for our Lord Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Surely. Surely we can do better than that. Well, then, after he shared all that for a little while, then he turned the corner and said, "So, tell me about your family." And I told him about my children and where they are and what they're doing. And it got strangely silent. We didn't talk after that. Because I think he realized that was more noble than riding this little tricycle and making it do stunts. He got quiet and he didn't want to talk the rest of the trip. Well, we're going to be looking at God's ideals this week. God's ideals. We're going to learn the rules, young people. Just like that boy did, see? He looked at that whole thing and he learned the rules. And he evaluated the whole thing. He knew what he was getting into. He knew, I'm going to break some of my bones. Give me that bike anyway. I'm going to break my hands. Give me that bike anyway. I'm going to crush my knee. Give me the bike anyway. He didn't care. He learned the rules. He evaluated the whole thing. And he gave himself to it completely. I hope as we look at the rules of the most precious race that you could ever run, the most exciting, adventurous race you could ever get into, I hope you get the rules and deep down in your soul this week and step up there and say, okay, I know I'm going to break my bones over and over again, but I'm going for it with all my heart. Surely the Lord Jesus is worthy of that. I hope you'll go for it with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Ideals are like a tuning fork. Took me a while to find one of these, but I found one. Can you hear that? A tuning fork. It gives a better pitch than a pitch pipe. You know that? The sound that comes out of a tuning fork, they call it concert pitch. It is perfect. They use these to tune instruments because instruments get out of tune. Sort of like we do sometimes, amen? We get out of tune. So the master tuner takes the instrument and plucks the string. And if it doesn't sound right, he uses the tuning fork. And he tunes that string to sound just like the sound on the tuning fork. That's what we're going to do this week. We're going to strike the tuning fork about 16 times. 4 times each day. We're going to strike the tuning fork so that we can take this instrument and just tune it. Or maybe you have a broken string and that sound doesn't even, you don't even know that sound. We're going to fix the broken string so that it'll sound right when we're done. That's what a tuning fork is all about. Just like the master tuner, or anyone who wants to be in tune, they strike the tuning fork with joy, wanting to hear the purest sound that it can give, because they want to bring that instrument into line with that sound. Young people, I hope you will look at these next 4 days that way. Not a half-to thing here. Oh, no, Brother Denny's going to load us down with all this stuff. No, but rather, with the heart of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we'll strike the tuning fork, and your heart will listen and say, oh, I want to hear the sound so beautifully, purely given. My heart and my life can be brought in tune, that the music that my life plays is harmonious and right and honoring Christ and glorifying my God. Because we want to run the race, we get to run the race, not because we have to run the race. Amen? There's a big difference between have to and get to, young people. And really, you could just sum up the whole disciple, the whole matter of a disciple with those words right there. If it's have to and not get to, it is not in the heart. And if that man stood up here and pointed the gun at you and said, stand up right now, if it's have to instead of get to, you probably not get on your feet. Amen? You will probably not get on your feet. But if it's get to and want to, and he points the gun your way, I believe by the grace of God you'd stand to your feet, look him right in the face and say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Do with me whatever you want. Whatever you want. Well, you know what will cure Generation X, young people? A Holy Ghost revival in your lives will cure Generation X. You see, they're looking for reality. They don't see it. They don't see it. Let you be the reality that they're looking for. And what I sense today and what I sensed yesterday in our Sunday morning service, I sense good things. Young people, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to have a revival this week. Not just the Bible school. You know what I mean? You can come here and go through all the sessions and listen and go your way. Or you can come here starting from day one and say, okay, Lord, I'm going for it with everything I've got. I'm going to get honest and I'm not waiting till Friday. I'm going to get honest on Monday. I'm going to open up in my prayer group this day, this very day, and go for it. Young people, you could have a revival that would shake your moms and dads. When you get home, it has happened before. Where revival broke out in all the little churches after the young people went home from Bible school because of the way that God touched them. They couldn't help but overflow, and their moms and dads and the pastors said, cancel the service. The young people are going to give their testimonies. And by the time the young people finished giving their broken-hearted testimonies of the soul that has been set free, the moms and dads were on their faces weeping. You could have that this week, young people. Or you can just go through another week of Bible school. Oh, I pray, God, He stir your hearts and you seize the opportunity that is at your fingertips. Let's go for it from day one. Pray. God, our Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We're very excited to be a Christian today. Father, we thank you that you bought us and sought us and redeemed us by your blood. Thank you that you called us into the fellowship of the disciples of Jesus Christ. God, we pray this week, change our lives, Lord. Change my life, dear God, this week. You know I need it, dear God. Change our lives, Lord. Let a holy hush settle down upon us, Father. From this very beginning, God, do it. Touch us. Change us. Send revival, Lord, upon all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.